One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to our little rinky-dink program. I'm Ryan. On the soundboard, as usual, is Bobby.
Woohoo!
Dave is out today, so we got the unofficial fourth degenerate in here. Mr. John Groups filling in for him. Thanks for doing that.
No problem.
Took my fucking seat.
Yeah,
a little upset. I sit in the same fucking seat every week.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, John's like, get up. That's my seat today because I sat there once, maybe a year ago, and that's...
I also I have some ideas for format changes I want to talk with you guys.
But, I sit there every fucking week. Anyway, a couple things to go over. Number one, I think my therapist is out of his fucking mind. I think he's losing it. He's, and I don't mean like he's out there and wears wacky shirts. I mean like...
Is it Dr. Lecter?
No.
Maybe he's got a therapist bit that he's trying to pull where he's like, if I act crazier than Ryan, then he will feel better when he comes to see me.
Nah, he's an older gentleman and he's clearly going senile.
Oh.
And I'm just now picking up on it. But
okay.
Like, I'm like remembering things that there's been signs all along at the same time. So anyway, like...
Ryan comes in, he's just naked playing the bongos.
Dr. McConaughey.
All right. So this guy, he's up there in years, and I've enjoyed being his patient for like 2 years. And I don't like switching therapists because you got to do a whole fucking recap. Like,
right, yeah.
It's like, oh, tell me about yourself. All right, here we go. All right, lost my parents early, lived a very violent lifestyle. I medicate with alcohol. There's a toxic relationship thing, but that's buttoned up. I'm married now.
Well, if he's going senile, you're going to have to start doing that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to just start drawing on him in magic marker like he's the guy from Memento.
And I fucking looked for this guy for a while, too. Like, you have to go through a few therapists before you find one that you really gel with. I remember I went to this one office. The guy was like, come on in, Ryan, is it? And I sat down, and I looked down, and he's wearing socks with sandals. I'm like, I think we're all good here. I'll let you know. We'll be in touch. That's all it took. But I found this guy. We gelled. And now I'm like, here's what'll happen. I'll be in there. I'll be like, listen, it's just that, like, I don't know the line between not thinking negatively and not addressing my problems. And then I'll look up at him and be like, my brother loves motor scooters.
Oh, wow.
And he used to take his motor scooter up to Idaho twice a year and check into a bed and breakfast. And he would ride his motor scooter all day. And then I just wait for him to like bring that back around.
Right, right.
And then he just fucking stops talking.
Like, it sounds like it's going to be some like Zen
right.
whole story.
And I'm trying to push
tapers,
him that way.
Tapers off into nothing.
Right. I try to push him that way. I'm like, all right. So what you're saying is the motor scooter is like an analogy for the things I use to distract myself from my problems, maybe, right? And it'll be like, what motor scooter?
Yeah. Yeah,
who
it's either
are you?
That he's going senile or he might be super high when you show up. Because let me tell you, there are a few times where somebody brings something up and I go, I got the perfect analogy to that. I get halfway through the analogy and I completely forget where it's going to go because I'm really baked.
Yeah, and I'll just be like, I'll be sitting there watching him babble and drool and I'll be like, all right, there's a good news, bad news thing going on right now. The bad news is... this is why I'm not getting any better. I have been in therapy for 2 years, and I'm seeing no returns on that. The good news is, it's not my fault, and that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, you get to use all your jokes again.
Yeah.
it's a new audience every week.
Yeah, so it's not my fault, and that's all I care about. But the other thing is, I realize I've been taking advice from this guy for 2 years, and I'm like looking back at the signs, like Aaron walks in the kitchen, I'm slamming my head in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, doctor told me to do this.
Mental
she's like,
health
well,
day.
He is a doctor. I'm like, right, it doesn't make sense to me. Is the kid home because I'm supposed to wave my penis at the dining room after this? I'm trying to get centered is what I'm doing. So anyway, that's not working out.
I do like, I think we should write a sitcom called Crazy Old Therapist. And it's just, it is a
that's
senile.
That's a one episode pilot.
Is it a sitcom or a really sad drama?
It's a senile old man giving advice that everybody, because he's got a great reputation.
No, I've seen
right?
this. He has a beaver puppet and he cuts his hand off.
So it's like a Frasier reboot that's just really dark.
He used to be like the best therapist on earth, but slowly went crazy. But he was such a good therapist beforehand that instead of people thinking he's going crazy or
it's
recognizing
it's like an Emperor's
it,
New Clothes kind
right,
of deal.
Right, and everybody just keeps going with a crazy. So like you walk into the waiting
there's
room.
There's nothing funnier than dementia.
Right.
Yeah. You walk laugh in, riot.
When Ryan walks into the waiting room in the sitcom, the other patients that are waiting to see doctor. One of them's dressed completely in saran wrap. The other's got a big colored afro wig.
You know what? I could see this if it's about, like, each episode is about one of the patients.
Right.
And the crazy therapist is just like a Wilson-like character from Home Improvement who just gives really shitty advice.
He's got a fence in his office.
Yeah.
No, I think there was a show like that called In Therapy or something, but it sucked.
Oh, on HBO. On HBO, yeah. But it wasn't a comedy, though.
No.
Yeah.
No, this would have to be a comedy. There's no way to make senility into a comedy, by the way.
Like, I disagree.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, yeah, one day you accidentally walk in and he's in there with another patient, but the other patient is just laying with their back against a plywood board and they have an apple on top of their head and the guy's got a bow and arrow and you walk in and he goes, I'm sorry, we have 5 more minutes left.
Yeah, maybe we missed the boat. This could have happened in the 90s. Because the further back you go, the more okay it was to do comedy about anything. There was a comedy set in a Nazi prison camp, you know? Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, right. There was also, I think it was called Head of State or Man of the Year or something. There was a show about an orangutan that was the president of the United States.
That was a documentary.
There was a lot of ape humor in the 90s. And stuff.
Oh, the 80s. Yeah. The 80s was lousy with ape humor.
You had apes becoming either cops, major league professional ball players, or
also,
president
all
of the United
sorts
States.
Of animals.
Tony Danza's roommates. That's a job.
No, in the 90s, all different species barriers and sports were getting broken like every week.
Right, that's true.
Speaking of doctors, by the way, I got a call from a physician friend of mine, and she's a resident doctor. I'm sorry, she's an attending physician, and she has a resident that she's training right now. She's like, Ryan, this guy said he was a stand-up comic. I'm like, yeah. She goes, just the way he carried himself, I don't know stand-up comedy, but I know liars, and I think he's lying.
Hold on. Can we recreate the possible scenarios that might have led her to believe this? Ryan, you play the doctor. I'll play the resident. Now ask me about.
What do you do for fun there?
Well, I used to be a professional stand-up comic.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you perform?
The places?
The comedy place.
There's a microphone there, and then I would tell jokes. It was like the laughter jokes.
What kind of jokes?
Just the ones that made people laugh. I was real good, pretty pro. Seinfeld said I was the best thing he had seen
Jerry
in a while.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to being doctors.
So anyways, she's like, yeah. Basically, she said they had that kind of conversation, and she's like, I need you to meet him, and I need you to tell me if he's lying, because I don't want to work with a liar. If he's lying about that, who knows where it'll go?
Right.
This is the medical profession.
So now let's.
You're like the police interrogator on this.
He's more of a PI because it's undercover.
Okay, yeah.
She wants me to go in as a ringer.
Yeah.
I thought the nurse was going to bring him into the examination room and say, okay, the doctor will be right with you, but then you walk in
a white coat. Yeah. Get started.
You pull a chair backwards and you sit down. He's like, now, where'd you say you performed?
And then I walk in, I sit down, I'm like, my brother loved motor scooters. He used to take his motor scooter.
Now let's go over the different possibilities. Possibility one, he's never done an ounce of stand-up in his life. He's watched comedy and he just says it. Number two, he did a few open mics and to him,
well,
that's what I
want to do. If I'm going to interrogate him, I'm like, hey, right, let's get started. First of all, I just want to let you know, if these were open mics,
or number three, he made his way around a regular comedy circuit and did okay for himself and is just fine. Was a comedian who did maybe a few openers and maybe even a feature or two.
Either way, here's where I landed on this whole ruse she wants me to participate in.
Uh-huh.
Is that I'll meet him under false pretenses.
Right.
I'll ask him a few questions, but I'm not going to call him out. She goes, why? I'm like, because here's how that conversation would go. You're not a comedian. You're just a loser doctor. I bet if I went through your pockets, I wouldn't find any expired drink tickets or fake cocaine. All I'd find is a bunch of money, fucking loser.
By the way, you'd find a lot of fake cocaine. That's been with doctors.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you've probably never done some fake drugs in a bathroom that was mainly fucking feline laxative and fentanyl.
Right. I'd like to hope that a doctor would know the difference, or at least knew where to get good shit.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem with this guy. She's like, he doesn't even know the difference between real cocaine.
Yeah, that's right. That's how I know he's not a good doctor comedian.
No, that's how I know he's not a comedian. Yeah. He'd be like, bunk.
Yeah, because that can be an issue. I've had the reverse issue before, which is I purposely...
You had someone pretending to be a doctor?
Yes, that's right. I purposely don't tell people that I work with in archaeology that I do comedy. I do that for many reasons, one of which is I don't want to get fired from my job when somebody looks up some old abortion joke, but also just because it just, why? I'm not trying to impress you. I don't need to bring this up. We are working together. Let's just keep it at that.
Oh, I don't tell anyone at my work any of the...
That you took my seat?
Hobbies. Yeah. my seat-stealing legacy.
And so every once in a while, though, it gets out because somebody I know from that overlaps or something will tell other people, be like, did you know he's a stand-up comic? Yeah. Or, hey, we're going to go see one of his shows tonight. Do you want to come? And then people will come up to me, oh my God, you're a stand-up comic? And they do the Ryan test. But here's the thing. The person who's doing the Ryan test is always the same person. It is somebody who is tangentially connected to archaeology because they're like some kind of low-level field tech or something. And they either go to a comedy club a lot or they've done two open mics. But now they're in the interrogator seat,
they're
throwing, oh, so you're a stand-up comic. And I'm like,
it's
do
like
comedy.
The Milgram experiment.
Yeah. It's like, I do comedy, Oh, yeah? Okay, where did you do it? A bunch of places. I've run shows a lot of places, and I've done a lot of other people's shows. What do you want? And they'll start, okay, give me the exact location. Have you ever done The Madhouse? Yeah, I broadcast the podcast.
I like how they're giving you the right answers, and all you have to say is yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever done the Irvine Improv? Yes. Damn it.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a question.
Well, no, and then they'll be like,
it wasn't a trick question.
Well, yeah, and then they'll say things. They'll do these things where, like, they'll say, oh, yeah, what comedians have you worked with? Which, if you've done four shows, would be a list number, but anybody who's done comedy for more than a year and a half has worked with way too many comedians to be able to say, hey, well, would you like it alphabetically or should I do it based on their home?
Allison Gill.
Yeah.
Brian Simpson.
Yeah. And so I get those, and I always try and do the opposite where I try and low play it. I'm like, don't worry. I do a few shows. Just don't even consider it. And I always get the long form interrogation from the quote unquote comedy expert, which is just somebody who has an annual pass to Madhouse or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and shove. Oh, I bet you've never heard of a James Schrader. Actually, he won one of my first comedy contests that I used to promote out of the Ken Club. Oh yeah, what color is his hair?
Why are people so such sticklers for determining if you're a comedian or not? Because if you tell someone, yeah, I used to be in a band, or I'm in a band, they don't say, oh yeah. Who'd you play with?
Yeah.
Name all the local dicks you played with.
No one's ever doubted me. But I still didn't like them finding out because I get the same eight fucking annoying questions. Yeah. Like, so what are your jokes about? Socks.
Yeah.
All socks. Socks, denim. Denim. Yeah. Never mind. Socks and denim. Mainly socks and denim.
The denim stuff goes real well in Canada. That's why I do it.
Yeah. Where do you play? My house. Yeah. All right. Fucking, can I be done with this?
I set up my stuffed animals. And I do a quick five.
Yeah.
And that experience has led me to believe that the more somebody brags about their comedy expertise in their regular job, the less accomplished they actually are in comedy. Because when you meet the person who's done four open mics, they will happily tell it to every person they meet at work. That will be, that is on their name. Hi, my name is Becky. I do open mics. But when you meet the person who actually does a decent amount of comedy, they don't want to put up with those exact questions that Ryan is talking about. Occasionally I do comedy. Don't worry about it.
By the way, there was a article. I know you guys both saw it. This grandma in Texas with the alligator.
I saw it through you.
Okay, through me. All right. Yeah. So
I saw it because I commented on it. So it all checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, John, how's my seat over there? Is it nice?
Comfy. Yeah. Fuck you. Backrest against the wall is perfect.
Anyways, this grandma in Texas.
We got off on the wrong foot today, didn't we?
yes, I should say we fucking did. This grandma in Texas, great grandma, actually. She's way up there in years.
As in she's good at being a grandma, or?
No, that's first chair kind of humor there, John.
I'm just trying to get in the spirit of what Dave Cowens would maybe say.
She successfully ran for mayor of her small little town so that she could legally murder an alligator in her little creek there that ate her prized miniature horse and then ate it and then ate the alligator and then mounted its fucking head in her office and then I just feel like I've done nothing with my life.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I have questions.
You start, then I'll do one.
Lay on me. Okay. I looked this up in three different publications because I had questions.
Is there a law that says that mayors are allowed to kill alligators or is she giving herself some kind of pardon?
She pass a law to say I can or people can hunt alligators?
Look, the blue laws in Boots, Texas are very clear.
Can't kill alligators. alligator on Sundays.
On Good Friday, you better go to bed in a suit, mister. And yeah. Number two, only guys named Chauncey are allowed to drink on Sundays. And number three, only an elected official is allowed to murder an alligator, but only if its stomach contents reveal that of a show pony.
Yeah.
Now, my other question was, how big was this alligator? And follow-up question, how small was the horse?
Okay, I don't know how small the horse was because there's no photos of that because it got fucking eaten prior to this story.
Yeah.
But the alligator, she fucking posed with it like strung up outside of her house. Think Lake Placid, dude.
Oh, wow.
This thing was enormous.
Yeah.
And she killed it with one shot. She took a video. She has like a sniper scope on a hunting rifle.
Yeah.
And she's like, check this shit out. I'm mayor, bam.
Alligators aren't that fast.
Yeah, no.
They're stationary. I've done the Everglades tour.
Well, she also baited it with a raccoon on a hook.
Yeah. She's shooting dirty pool on that one.
Yeah. If I'm going to hunt, I want the I want there to be some stakes.
Oh, I want to be Schwarzenegger and Predator.
Yeah.
I want to have to build like jungle traps. And,
I
want to
wade out into shark infested waters with a spear.
Yeah.
I want something that can kill me back.
Oh, for sure. She needs to do it with a Bowie knife.
Yeah. Next time. If she wants my vote, that's what he has to do.
She needs to dive into that creek with a fucking knife in her teeth and go, vengeance is mine.
I do like her vigilante justice. Obviously, that makes me feel good. Going after the alligator that killed your prize show pony, which is just.
Dude. Something about the thought of an overweight 80-year-old woman holding an alligator head in one hand and a rifle in the other yelling, vengeance!
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know she was overweight, and now I'm picturing this whole thing transpiring with her on a mobility scooter, and it's so much fucking better.
Oh, it is. Yeah, dragging the fucking alligator back.
Just slowly through the aisles at Walmart.
What do you mean I can't be in here? I'm mayor now. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Technically, I think legal.
Hail to the chief. She's the chief and you need hailing.
Now that she's both become mayor and killed the alligator, I think she could actually wear its skin and eat show ponies herself.
She should make a mayor's sash out of the skin, like on The Simpsons, except, alligator skin.
Yeah, the thing is, I was impressed. Like, dude, she ran for mayor and one just to kill this alligator. How small is this town, though? Because it's rural Texas. Like, there's a chance mayors whoever drew the short straw that month. Like, goddamn.
The only people who voted for her were her show ponies that didn't get eaten.
Yeah, her house is the town, technically, under another blue law. Yeah, she's like, well, there's been no mayor since 1918.
She's actually her own country right now.
Feel like she just went to Albert and said, can I be mayor this month? He's like, oh, I don't give a shit. I have a brother that loves motor scooters. Yeah, thanks. Give me the sash. So anyway, I'm a big fan of that lady now. John.
Yeah.
We did your bachelor party.
We fucking did.
That was a great bachelor party.
Yeah.
We were all there for that. Did you have a good time?
I had a fucking great time. I don't think I could have planned my own bachelor party any better than you planned mine. And your bachelor party was last year.
Yeah.
And I had a hand in planning that. And I'd been patting myself on the back because I was like,
great.
That was one for the books.
Yeah.
But you fucking raised the bar.
Hey,
so,
thank you.
Now, you got the VR stuff, which I didn't get to go do, but I saw the videos and it looked awesome for two reasons. One is everybody says this was the most awesome thing ever. You got to do it. But two, the other cool thing about it is watching people in the VR.
Oh yeah.
That
was
watching a
more
video.
Fun. Yeah, that was almost more fun.
Because
than
you look at
VR.
You're like, yeah, just look like an asshole. Yeah. Like, it's great to watch your friends look like assholes.
Now, what's great about this is one of my favorite parts of the day, is that we all went out to a big brunch where we had a bunch of cocktails. They had some sort of milk whiskey punch.
It was great.
It sounds disgusting.
It
and they're like,
gross.
Do you want milk whiskey punch? I'm like, get out of here, hillbilly.
The waiter accidentally brought, because Novin ordered one on purpose, and then the waiter accidentally brought two. And I
that
was like,
be
you know what?
Novin orders on
I'm
purpose.
Like, I'll roll the dice. It's my special day.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take it.
But anyway,
it was fucking great.
We went out to this brunch and then went to virtual reality. I rented out an entire arcade just for us, just for like 2 hours. So
and they let us bring beers in there, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, bring beers. It's your arcade for those 2 hours. Think of it as your house. And so I'm like, hey, can we push it back by 30 minutes? He's like, unfortunately, no, because we're running late on breakfast.
Yeah.
He's like, we got a party coming in right after you. Now, this is where my favorite part comes in. We all have a great time.
Yeah.
We're drinking beers. It's a bachelor party. Like, all right, next stop, cabin in the woods. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the guy's like, hey, the next party's here. We turn around, and it's like an 8-year-old kid holding a soccer cake.
Yeah.
So John's bachelor party is the same as Timmy's 8th.
Right. Yeah. My favorite thing, though, is Novin did not clean up his language even a little.
Well, he's in Boston, you understand.
When he's around kids, like at brunch, we were seated next to a family that had like a 5-year-old girl who was sitting at the very edge of the table there was a little gap for people to walk in, and Nova's there. And Nova's like, oh, this drink's fucking awesome. This drink's fucking awesome. You got to try this bullshit.
Yeah.
And the next time I looked over, the mom had taken the daughter and moved her as fucking far from Novan as she could.
Again, the kid's in here? Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry, kid. I won't say cunt.
Yeah. I mean, technically in Boston, they don't even have the word kid. They just call them fucking little people.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care.
Eat your cornflakes, you little shit.
Yeah. And then as we're walking out of the VR, and Novan was one of the people I think had the best time in the arcade. Like, I have some video of him scream. I was outside the VR set, and he's screaming and jumping around. He accidentally punched the wall because he got too into it at one time. But he's walking out, and he's like a sailor on shore leave, like, oh, that was wicked fucking awesome. And then, you know, there's like little Timmy in his soccer-themed VR
party.
He just
slaps the cake out again. Fuck you!
Pours a beer out on it.
I know we said we weren't getting a stripper, but Timmy's mom looks like she's pretty stacked. How about we offer you a few $100 right here, right now?
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, so...
And that was just the foreplay. You know, that was just the pregame.
Now,
of,
Bobby, I will tell you right now, remember, I tried to do mushrooms once in my life and did it all wrong.
Yes.
Well, I finally got to do it right. I'm telling you, that is fantastic.
Yeah,
it is.
We went up to the woods where we took a bunch of hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Right, yeah. Theoretically.
Yeah, that's something. It's something I've always wanted to do. I hung out with a lot of acid heads in high school, but I never did any because they all told me, if you think you're going to have a bad trip, you will. And I'm a real pessimistic.
I'm like, well, that's
asshole.
It. That's all she wrote then.
But I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna try it. And I wanted to be experienced.
To be fair, and I will say this as a precursor, if you are somebody who has never done hallucinogens and you think you might have a bad trip, you need to have somebody there who is experienced who can help pull you out of that if that starts to happen.
Yeah, they can give you sage advice like Bobby gave. Hey, Bobby, what should we do now? I don't know. Do whatever you want. Several times. No. Let's back up.
Well, we kept saying you were going to be our shaman because you've had a lot of experience.
Yes.
And then once it kicked in, we all had a lot of questions for you, and you had taken them too. But your advice amounted to, which later turned out to be pretty good advice. But at the time when we didn't know what to expect, you go, I'm feeling a little queasy. Is that normal? I don't know.
No. I said, yes, it is.
What should I do now? I don't care.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Should I do more mushrooms or less? Either.
That's the whole point. Well, no, that was the one thing I did help you on. I didn't let you do too much, and I didn't let you do too much too late.
And you didn't let us do too little.
Yeah, that's true.
The important thing.
Here is the thing. I look at it almost... I'm an atheist. This is the closest thing I have to religion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to interfere with somebody else's experience. My job is not to tell you how this goes.
No, it made sense after you know, having done it, made sense because, like, there were times when I could tell, like, a lot of people wanted to talk, but it would hit me. I'm like, I kind of want to just look at the stars and not hear anyone.
It's so strange how much your emotions govern, like what's going on, how much your environment governs those emotions. But, like, there'd be times I'd be like, this is great. I'm going to go into this room. Okay, this room sucks. I'm fucking out of here. But wait. And then I'd start thinking to myself, like, what do you want? What do you want? I want to be around Mike. Yeah, Mike!
Yeah,
I need mic time.
Yeah, it was just, we had seven guys, and we were just, like, wandering around this house. And
it was great because there was, like, a second floor, a main floor, a basement that had, like, a video game in it.
Yeah,
there was
an amazing deck.
There was this wraparound deck. There was a whole little woods area behind the house. There was a cool little driveway in front of the house.
Yeah.
Like every time, you could not be bored.
Yeah.
Every time you wanted to change the scenery, you had, like, eight options.
Yeah.
Yeah, your goal in the shaman role, so to speak, the guide role, isn't to tell somebody what to do. It's just to tell them what not to do in very specific instances.
Yeah, I think
I'm gonna eat this handful at midnight. No, it's too late. Or, hey, man, I feel really bent down because I'm thinking of this. No, don't go down that road.
Yeah.
Think of these things instead. And how you navigate the experience. Your goal as somebody who's helping somebody else isn't to try and dictate the experience they're having, because you can't. Every experience you have is different. Every time you use it is different. Your goal is to help them avoid very common pitfalls that you see coming in their future. And as long as you can do that and you let that person explore that kind of realm, they're going to have a great time. I think you guys had a great time.
I think your gremlin, the three gremlins rules you gave us before was don't jump off of anything, which was really fucking tempting, by the way.
Yes.
I kept coming back to what you said.
Yep.
I wanted to fly off that porch.
And it was a good one-story drop.
Yeah. I would have died.
You wouldn't have died unless you swan-dived.
I would have broke something else.
Definitely broken an ankle or something.
Yeah, ankles are
the other
history.
Rule was don't start a fire, which I always... or also really wanted to do.
Yeah, because a lot of smoking and stuff like that, so no fires.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't remember what the third one was, but I'm pretty sure I didn't
it was,
do it.
Do whatever you want, I don't care.
Yeah.
it was no violence.
Now, one thing I was kind of, I don't want to say disappointed, but I was expecting was, because you had even, and a lot of people, and right before we took them, kind of build it up to be almost like a spiritual like breakthrough when you take them.
Sure.
And it was a lot of fun, but at the end of the day, it felt like it was just another way to get high.
A really good way to get high.
Right. Yeah. But I didn't have any like secret truth about myself revealed to me. But the next day I woke up and the only thing like I had realized from the night before was I should cancel cable.
First of all, that is a great spiritual awakening. Second of all, yes, they can be or they can't be. Now, keep in mind, also, we did a very responsible amount. We started you guys off, because this was kind of your inaugural time, with a very reasonable amount.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, a lot of that big-time introspection and perspective shifts happen with much more.
I came out of it, I'm like, that girl that opened for us at the Oceanside gig, she sucks. I'm not gonna be friends with her. I don't like her. She says we talk and we're friends, but I don't think that's a friend.
Well,
I
didn't even remember that person until just now.
Yeah, for summer, and I didn't remember to that either. But also, I'm like, hey, you know that person that opened for you in Oceanside? Don't ever talk to her again. I don't know why.
It is an experience that I think that everybody who is mentally stable, because there are people who have schizotypic personalities who shouldn't do it, but for every person who is mentally stable, who is in a good place, at some point in their life should
loosely
do it at least once. At least once, because it is a very, very potent experience.
Oh my God, my fucking therapist is on mushrooms. I just...
Right, yeah. Well, they used to do a lot of therapy with things like MDMA.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
back in like the 50s, I guess like until
the 50s, everything was cocaine and Robitussin.
They would like some like that we were talking about the Milgram experiment earlier. Mm-hmm. Like it seemed like psychology was just like do whatever fucking crazy idea you want. There's no ethics or guidelines,
right. And it wasn't illegal.
And the university will fund it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so they did.
Psychology was cigars are dicks, except when they're not. I gotta go lie down or have water, either one.
They used MDMA, and they would say that one therapeutic session with MDMA was the equivalent of like 2.5-3 years of therapy, because it takes down a lot of your ego and your superego, and it kind of breaks you down to what you really want. It allows you to see your own flaws very distinctly and that kind of thing. And so you are much more able to go, hey, you know what? I do sabotage myself by doing this.
That
happens
to me when I drink. Like, I get drunk and I'm beating the shit out of myself, you know?
Well, yeah. So, oh, by the way, I know you guys are sick of hearing it because I brought it up like 500 times, but during the course of this night, I took a shower.
Yeah, it's a great shower, right?
And oh my God. Right. So first of all, the walls of the shower were like, I don't know if they were real marble, but they were patterned after marble. And I had not seen any visuals that night. I'd felt good. I'd felt clear. I felt giggly. Definitely had some cool thoughts, but no visuals yet until I got in that shower and locked that door behind me and decided lights on. Yeah, lights on. That warm water hit me, and I looked at that wall, and I dragged my hand across it, and things would happen, and faces appeared that weren't scary.
Yeah.
They were just talking to me like, hey, Ryan, you're an okay guy, and you're safe in here. I'm like, thanks, wall face. And so then I realized I am a caricature of a guy in a comedy who just took mushrooms.
Oh, we all were.
My friends can't like bust through this door. I am in here nude, soaking wet, dragging my hand across the wall and talking to him.
Well, I didn't want to tell you at the time, but you actually locked the door while I was in the bathroom taking a shit. So I saw this whole episode. I didn't want to ruin your trip.
But it is a beautiful experience, especially in the location we were
at. Oh, absolutely.
It was just gorgeous. And there's something, too, about the safety of being isolated. We were in a very isolated cabin.
Yeah.
We were not next door in a townhouse to somebody else. I always think...
Yeah, I was thinking I couldn't do them at my house in a suburban
Those people that do them when they're going to a music fest, I don't get that. To me, it's an experience.
Oh, yeah, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
John and I famously have problems being around people when we're sober.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, God. Last night, I was telling one of my best friends about... We were in my garage having a beer, and I told him about the bachelor party, and he told me about his first time taking mushrooms. I was like, yeah, I just did them recently. He's like, yeah, I ate a bunch of them, like a whole bag of them, and then I went with my friends to a bar in PB.
Oh my God.
And then he looks over at me, and I'm breathing into a paper bag just hearing this story. I'm like,
well, that was our friend Mike, who was there, said for his bachelor party, he did mushrooms and a whole bunch of other drugs in Vegas.
Yes, what is wrong with you?
No, why? No, yeah. Like, Jesus, no, that's H. Christ.
And maybe for some people, that's their path and great for them. To me, that
do whatever you want. Shaman, everybody.
That would be insane.
That's like a cyberpunk dystopian nightmare.
And it's a waste of a really powerful experience. Because, John, you and I just laid silently on a concrete driveway staring up at the sky for probably about an hour without saying a single word. And I had the time of my life.
I had no sense of time. I was like, man, these stars are cool. Has it been 10 minutes or 3 hours? But
And it was fantastic. That's another thing. It plays with your sense of time. There was a time where somebody looked at the clock and they're like, it's 9 o'clock. And we're all like, we thought it was 2 a.m.
And then we had another friend who was with us who is really a drug enthusiast, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
He has a kit that he brings everywhere to smoke weed. And normally when I'm around him sober, he'll say some weird things that I just kind of like shake my head and squint my eyes. I don't, know what he's talking about. Everything made perfect sense. And I was like, I get it now. This is great.
He was making more sense than usual.
Like my fiance said, she always hated electronic music until she went to a club and did Molly for the first time. And all of a sudden she was like, I get it. This is great music now.
Yes. You got that same thing in terms
of God molecule has been engaged.
And now that you guys have kind of had that intro experience, next time you can start with a full dose, which will have a lot more bigger effects and stuff. But you now know it, and you know there's nothing to be scared of because you can guide your own kind of journey.
You just go because whenever we went inside to take a leak in the bathroom, the black and white tiled floor and comparing notes.
That was a horror movie.
Everyone hated this floor, but we didn't know it until the next day.
And then I peeked my hand there the next day because, like, every time I'm in there, I felt like I felt like a wave of horror movies rush to me. Oh, by the way, when I went down, it looked
like the lodge or whatever from Twin Peaks with the dancing dwarf.
I went down to the basement and it was all dark and there was this repetitive 80s video game going on. It was perfect. It smelled musty, like back in Jersey when I used to like live in the basement flat. Mm. I was like, this is great. And then 32 years of watching horror movies all of a sudden recurred to me at once. I'm like, oh, I can't be alone in the basement of this cabin.
Yeah. Oh, no, I had a couple moments where I'd wander off by myself into the trees just to, take in the scenery or take a leak.
Sure.
And the thought would cross my mind, like, this is the perfect time for a serial killer to put an arrow through my head
or something. This is how the movie starts.
But it didn't scare me. I would just like Beavis and Butthead, I go, that'd be cool,
Moving along, I tracked down an old friend on Facebook. This is a guy that I'm sure you guys had a similar situation. Our parents were best friends.
Sure.
We were the same age.
Oh,
so we were just always at each other's house.
You're forced friends by default. Friends,
exactly. Yeah. And we didn't know any better. So we did it's not like now when my wife makes friends with a girl and I have to be put on a play date with her idiot boyfriend.
God. No, it doesn't, because when you're four, you're just like
that's another 4-year-old. Yeah. Cool. So this is a guy that we just knew each other for all these years, and then after high school we realized we're not really friends, and then went our separate ways. So I haven't talked to this guy in 14 years, and I don't know why I thought of him. I think I heard a name similar to his. I'm like, whatever happened to David, man? So I look him up and I find him. I'm like, oh shit, there he is. And I was actually kind of excited. I'm like, we're gonna catch up on life. He doesn't know I'm a comic. I don't know what he's doing. Like, this would be great. And I see that he lives in San Diego. I'm like, what are the fucking odds? Well, pretty good. But anyways, I looked him up and I was about to message him like, Dave, Ben, Ryan, what's been going on? Let's meet up for coffee. And then I'm like, let me just go to his page. I just want to make sure he's not like a right-wing nut or a conspiracy theorist or something. Worse. I go to his page and every single post is really fired up to help people achieve their financial goals this weekend of a big seminar. My job is to help you believe in you. I'm like, yeah, no thanks. No fucking way I'm putting myself on this guy's radar. I get enough of those guys hitting me up that don't know me.
That's the equivalent of looking up your old friend and wanting to reconnect and then looking and realizing they're a meth head. And you're like, this is just going to bring problems into my life.
I think I'd actually prefer that.
No, I don't know. I think it's just about the same thing. Like, hey, man, thanks for looking me up. Can I stay at your house for a while?
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing, only, hey, Ryan, man, remember that time we used to play with Tonga drugs? You should come to my seminar.
Yeah. At least the meth head has interesting stories, maybe.
That's right. That is very true.
I feel like this guy's always going to be steering it back to that seminar and helping me achieve my financial goals.
Yeah.
And hey, you're not a human nothing. You're a human being, so be and do. Or whatever fucking phrase he learned.
I'm Facebook friends with a guy from high school that I wasn't ever really close to him, but he's every couple months, it's a different pyramid scheme that he's trying to pour out, and like he goes to the
gym. He's an entrepreneur. That's how you know. They list themselves as an entrepreneur. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
But not fucking, they don't say CEO of something solutions or something. They just say entrepreneur.
Yeah. And if you're buying into someone else's business plan. How the fuck are you an entrepreneur?
Right.
You
know, well, because technically I'm a business owner. Yeah, see how it works, John?
Yeah.
I guess
anyway, go ahead. You had a friend on Facebook.
Yeah. So this guy from high school, and it's a different pyramid scheme every week. He can't go to the fucking gym. And I have no idea. Like, it's gotten so nebulous that no one has any fucking idea what he's talking about or what he's slinging. Or whatever. Like, he goes to the gym and takes a picture. Like, not even him, like his body, just his face, like looking sternly and, you know, a little smug at the camera and says, like, success doesn't come without hard work and sweat, so you gotta really want it. No one has any fucking...
So if I go to the gym, I'll be financially secure? Yeah, I don't think that works.
Like, there's never any pictures with friends, never pictures of his house, his car, family.
No,
like, there's no family, no wife, no, like... No, there's no like indication of his success other than these like vaguely inspirational like.
You know what?
The meth head actually has more of a chance of you making money because you can at least buy a bunch of meth in bulk and sell it to him.
Yeah. But it takes a very specific type of person because they are always falling for these things. You know, I don't know anyone that just fell for one pyramid scheme one time.
It's
always like that's a lifestyle. Like every time I talk to these guys, like I know a bunch of them from like because I used to work with them or something, and I'll be like, are you still with that multi-level solutions thing? And they'll be like, oh no, that was a big scam. Turns out that was a big scam, man. That was a ripoff. Anyway, no, I'm with this new thing, and technically I'm a business owner. See how it works is I'm like, dude, you fell for the exact same thing. You've learned no lessons.
That's what I think of every time I see somebody with the Herbalife sticker on their car. I'm like, you fucking suckers.
Yeah. I've been seeing less and less of those, though. I think everyone's catching on.
Now, John, though, with that friend you were talking about, didn't you have a thing where you tried to pitch him your business idea?
Oh, yes, I did. I almost forgot about that. He messaged me and tried to sell me on some garbage he was selling.
You never know what they do either. Like, I offer multi-level solutions.
This one had something to do with, like, a vacation club where, like, you sign up for this club and you pay, like, a monthly due. And then
it's
you're
a timeshare.
No, you're supposed to get like discounted rates on flights and hotels all over the world. So like,
you pay a monthly fee and they tell you what Orbitz is.
Yeah, pretty much. But he tried to sell me this shit, and I said, "Oh, so it sounds." And I think you actually gave me this idea, Shores. You told me to pitch something to him.
Yeah.
So
when people pitch to me, I try and sell them ad space.
So I tried to stroke his ego a little bit. I'm like, "Wow, you seem really successful. Do you want to make more money with the money that you've already made?" And I pitched him. He's like, okay, I'm listening. I'm a businessman. I'm always open for new opportunities. So I'm like, okay, so the average female gets about 3,000 dick pics a month. What I decided to do to help guys make their dick pics stand out from the crowd is we're going to have a subscription service where we sell little costumes you can put on your dick so that when you take the dick pic, it stands out. And now there's two names.
This is my dick is Fred Astaire.
Yeah. My marketing guy's working on branding right now. We're either going to go with Dick Skies or Incognito. And he was like, I could.
Was he on the hook?
He paused but then he was like trying to steer it back to me investing in his. Right. He didn't want to flat out say like, fuck you know, that's not real.
Oh my
he was
God.
Like, I know the right people and money men I can put you in touch with if you need.
No, this guy doesn't have the ability to realize when something's not real. Otherwise, he wouldn't be involved in this racket.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, Incognito. That's kudos.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, we can even team up. So you make the dick disguises, and I make the dick play sets. So hear me out. So you make your dick into Pennywise from It, and I'll create
the sewer that
he pops out of with a little red balloon. Maybe another dick is the red balloon. Who knows?
I'm a dickscape artist.
You can make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. Why not?
You're your own boss, and your success is up to you.
Dollhouse with holes cut out of the floor.
it's a birdhouse.
It's a cuckoo cock. Yeah. It just comes out. Surprise!
These are all ideas we should have discussed on mushrooms. Every one of them.
Or not on the air. People are going to steal our shit now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Cut all this out because this is actually sounding pretty good and I want to sign up now. I want to get in on the ground floor here.
Dicks.
Someone's going to make a lot of money at this. Could have been us.
Could have been us. We're on the ground floor of Bitcoin right now.
Yeah, no, but I do love pitching stuff back to people trying to sell me shit. I'm like, oh, this sounds great. Since you believe in your product, why don't you buy ad space on my podcast?
Yeah, and then that's brilliant.
And I use all the same things I know they're going to use on me. Hey, if you believe in yourself, you got to invest in yourself. Yeah. That's what you got
to
do.
Yeah, spend money to make money, bro.
Spend money to make money. And it always works. They always cut it off. They go, oh, think about it. When's it on? I'm like, when's it on? Oh, my God. This guy doesn't know what a podcast is. That's a stat. It's on NBC at 6 every day. And then I'll message him back. Like, did you see it? Did you see it last night? He'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good.
It comes out right after that sitcom about the senile therapist. Yeah.
No, it's a sitcom that's all dick puppets, okay? And now one of them is a senile therapist. The other one's Pennywise from it. By the way, John, didn't you get invited to be on Jeopardy?
Yeah, well, I took their online test a couple months
fucking
ago.
Fucking Alex Trebek is going to make short work of this guy.
Oh, yeah. There's so many fucking hoops to jump through between now
First
and
of all,
me
did you
being
apply,
on.
Or did
yeah,
they just...
well, I, every year I take the online test, and usually I crash and burn really bad. Because when I watch it at home, I can clean up whole categories, but. Take the online test. You only get 10 seconds per question, so you can't Google
it. This year is all about East Coast horror punk and Foot Locker.
Don't you hate
of Frasier
it?
And
I always cringe every time I'm watching Jeopardy and the category opera comes up, and I'm like, come on, motherfucker, who
cares?
My shit.
That's
really?
My shit. Yeah, sports is my downfall.
That's your Achilles heel?
Yeah. But I took the online test a couple months ago, and I actually did pretty good, but then I didn't hear anything back, so I kind of just forgot about it. You know, then I proposed to my girlfriend, got engaged, and... took mushrooms in the woods. All of a sudden, I get this email from Jeopardy. It says, congratulations, you've been accepted to audition at the studio in L.A. So I'm like, oh, shit, that's great. So I said, yes, I want to do this. And then they sent me this form that says, okay, so we're inviting you to the studio, but that doesn't mean you're going to be on the show.
Right.
And in fact, even if your audition goes well and we say you're going to be on the show, you might not be on the show. And even if we film you with Alex Trebek, you might not be on the show. And I'm like, Jesus, what the fuck?
If you do make it on the show, we own you for life. Yeah, all images of you.
Yeah, but I'm still going to try to do it because I need to recoup some money from paying for this wedding. But then on the form, it said, so tell us some interesting stories about you in case you get selected. And I'm like, oh, I have so many great stories. And I went to sit down.
How do you spell Dick Skies?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was like, shit, I can't say that on TV. What about the time I smoked angel dust because I thought it was wheat? No, that's not good. And I realized I don't have any interesting stories from my life that are appropriate for TV.
You do. I lost a fight with an office chair and broke your arm. That's a great story.
I'm gonna tell people I was on mushrooms when that happened, even though I wasn't.
I can see fucking John up there freezing, like I beat Shores' score at Frogger.
Yeah, because I was
Shores. Yeah, get off my set.
Me and Tara watch Jeopardy all the time, and we always make fun of the contestants.
Yes, because they have
shitty,
horrible,
they're
horrible.
Lame stories.
They're like, it says here once you bought a sweater online and it was one size too small.
Yeah, Alex, it was. I ordered a sweater online.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
they're the worst stories.
But I understand it now because how many good stories do you guys have that like are clean and
plenty?
I love like the visible disdain Alex Trebek has for all people on the show. He's been doing it for 36 years.
Oh, he's so fucking over it.
He's so over it.
He's so fucking over it.
But it's a sweet gig because I think they only tape for like 8 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
And they just do a whole day. But anyways.
I think what you should do is utilize that. I think you should, because everybody has those boring stories, right? So what if you had a really exciting story that you weren't actually going to tell? Because that guy goes on for three or four sentences about his sweater story, about his small sweater. So yours should be, Alex should come up and be like, it says here that you once killed a man with a piano wire. John, can you tell me about it? Yeah, Alex, I'm not talking about that. Let's get back to the game. Come on.
I gotta wait till the case closes. Yeah. The investigation's still pending.
Let me just say, like a hawk, I descend on my prey.
Or you look left or right and you go, yeah, he beat me in a game.
What I should try to do is...
He said something snarky.
Yeah, so, John,
where's your glasses and mustache, Weird Al?
I understand you're an entrepreneur. Alex, I want you to believe in you. This prize money you're giving away, you could be making double,
dude,
even triple.
You should do a character. You should no. Let's go the other way. Let's have you be the stereotypical, like, think of the shittiest story just that you know will piss off Alex. Be like, well, I'm a big fan of Kevin Costner, and I went to the Daily Grill to eat lunch, and I saw Kevin Costner. But then it wasn't Kevin Costner.
I thought he said a fake story.
Just have something where he's just like, ooh.
Yeah, just try to make it hurt as much as possible.
Yeah,
And then
like just drag that out for a few beats. Like,
the problem is I need to have something interesting enough for them to pick me as a contestant before I can troll Alex Trebek. Yeah.
Well, clearly you don't, because I've heard the intro stories and literally nobody has an interesting one.
No. You bait and switch is what you do. Here's what you do. You have like this fantastical story. Make something up. Be like, so I understand that you were with the Navy SEALs and you helped take out Osama bin Laden. One time I was at the Daily Grill and I thought I saw Kevin Costner, but it wasn't Kevin Costner, but I thought it was Kevin Costner. And I went up to him, I was like, Mr. Costner, and he said, I'm not Kevin Costner. And I went, oh.
It'd be even better to say something like, yeah, I built my own electric car that I race competitively. And you know, then Alex is like, so John, I hear you built your own electric car that you race competitively. No, where the fuck did you get that from?
I thought you were going to take out a little like RC remote control. Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be smart, Trebek?
Yeah. I think your goal just has to be make everyone at home go, what the fuck?
Yeah. Did I just hear that?
But there is a flip side of this, because just like you, when I had cable, me and Aaron would tune into Jeopardy every single night, and mainly to make fun. It was like partly for me to show off how smart I was to her, be like,
oh yeah, that's an element for sure. Yeah.
Oh, one night I fucking killed it. I'm like fucking getting all the answers. I realized it was like little kid Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, yeah, you tied Timmy, 8 years old, from Kansas.
I like how you had to realize that you weren't tipped off by the little kid. They all had pituitary problems.
The contestant's story about winning first place in a spelling bee.
To be fair, they were all Asian. I have no idea what age those people are at any stage of their life. So anyways...
All I know is they all know karate.
But anyways, we were making fun of this one lady. She was just awkward as fuck, and she kept winning. She was on every week, every day. We're like, God, she's so fucking weird. And at the end of the week, they're like, by the way, this taped a year ago, and she's dead of cancer. She didn't tell anybody, and she donated all her winnings to cancer. And we had just been sitting there.
I remember that one.
Making fun of her for a solid week. And it turns out she was dying of cancer and just wanted to win to donate it to cancer research. I am a monster.
Now, see, that could be your Jeopardy story here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, remember, Alec, remember that cancer chick you had on here?
Yeah, she died. It was really funny because me and my wife were laughing at it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I started throwing peanuts out of the fucking TV screen every time she was on. She's dead.
It'd be great if they stood there, jaws agape, just Ryan and Aaron looking at the TV, feeling super bad, and then Ryan slowly goes like, well, I guess she kind of was a tumor on our lives.
Oh, man. No, just one of them just stared at mouths agape, and all of a sudden you just heard... And we started laughing again.
You know what? I did realize a story I could tell that's appropriate for TV while during the course of this conversation. My brother used to like motor scooters.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for John and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
This is my dick is Fred Astaire.
Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.